squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Durban, Friday the 17th of April, 4:45 p.m. The heart of the Durban North shopping complex at Broadway is a large double-story supermarket set well back from the tree-lined street in a spacious tarmac parking area. Late this Friday afternoon, the area is full of last-minute shoppers carrying bulky paper bags and large cardboard cartons to their cars. In the cavernous store itself, the activity is twice as hectic. The manager, a short, balding man, surveys the scene from a first-floor gallery. He turns away from the bustle and walks briskly into a glass-fronted office.
Graham?
Yes, Mr. Gardner?
Nearly finished?
Yes, sir. Finished the calculations. We're still packing it all. Won't be long now.
Looks like quite a large amount this week.
Well, over 7,500. Oh, here's a slip.
Okay. Good. Head office should be pleased with the figures.
Same system this week, sir?
How do you mean?
Do we take this over to head office, to their big safe?
Yes, I'm afraid it is.
It's about time they put a big enough safe in here, sir. Then we could bank it ourselves in the morning.
Well, I think they intend to do that, Trent. It's taking a little time, that's all.
I don't feel safe with this lot in the car. Not all the way into town.
Neither do I, Trent, but it's got to be done.
Yes.
Give me a shout when the money's all packed, and I'll give you a hand to take it out of my car.
Right, sir. Do I bring the revolver as usual?
No, of course. I'm sure nothing will happen. We can't take any risks.
Friday, the 17th of April, 4:55 p.m. The last of the shoppers are passing through the single till that remains open. Employees of the supermarket stand at the big glass doors, closing them one by one. As the last door closes, Gardner and Trent walk out of the manager's office, down a flight of stairs into the shopping area, and out through a side door. Trent is carrying a bulky leather briefcase. They cross the darkening parking area towards Gardner's car. Intent on reaching the car, they pay little attention to another car parked some way from them in the far corner of the tarmac yard. Two men sit in the car. The driver smokes a cigarette.
Slim.
Hmm?
There they are now.
I see them.
Look, why don't we get them now, man? There's no one about. It's easy, man. Let's take them now.
Sit still. We do it the way I say.
Yeah, but...
But nothing. We worked this out weeks ago. We've got it all planned. We're not going to change anything now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Not to worry. There they go. Into the car. Silly people. This is going to be dead easy. Right then. You ready?
Ready.
Let's get after them.
Careful.
It's all right, sir. I see him.
Stupid man.
People do silly things in the rush hour. They're all in a hurry to get home.
So are we.
Not only home, Mr. Gardner.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, I'd be a lot happier when that money's in the safe head office. I'm getting to hate these Friday trips.
I'm sure you are, Trent. I'm very grateful. Very grateful for your company.
Oh, look at that traffic. We'll be ages still.
Good thing the head office is away from the center. Once we get past the bridge, we'll be in the clear.
Yeah. Not much traffic after that, I hope.
Hey, don't lose them, Slim.
No chance of that.
All this traffic, it's getting dark.
How many times have we done this trip, eh? Just how many times have we followed that car on a Friday?
Three times now.
Right. Have I ever lost them?
No.
And we're not going to lose them this time. You know why? Because we know where they're going.
Yeah. But they don't, do they?
Oh, now that's better. Out of the worst of the traffic. Won't be long now.
Getting darker by the second.
I've already got my lights on. Not more than a block away from here.
You'd hardly believe it, would you, sir?
What?
Not 10 minutes ago, we were crawling through the rush hour, and now I can't see a single car. Oh, I beg your pardon. One car. There's a car passing us now.
He's certainly moving, whoever he is.
What's he doing? There's plenty of room to pass.
He's not trying to pass.
He's next to me, pulling over. He's pushing me off the road. Oh, he's out of control. I can't hold him.
Trent, are you all right?
He's out cold. There's two men walking over from the other side. Mask.
The gun. Trent, the gun.
Right, you. Stay where you are. Where's the money?
Money?
You heard the case with money. Where is it?
There it is, Slim. Behind the seat. Get it. You're right.
No.
I said stay where you are.
But, got it.
Open it up and make sure. It's locked. Break it, man. Break it.
Okay.
No, I'll have to cut it. Quickly, man. Quickly. Well?
Yeah, this is the one. It's full of loot.
Then let's get out of here.
The two men sprint back to their waiting car. The taller of the two, who holds the automatic pistol, pauses for a split second as he looks back at the disabled vehicle before he slides behind the wheel, revs the already idling motor, and accelerates into the gathering dark.
Flying squad, Sergeant Matthews.
Police, we've got to come quickly. We've been robbed. Robbed at gunpoint.
Yes, sir. Your name, please.
Gardner of Highway Supermarkets, near the head office in Greyville, First Avenue.
Right, sir. Robbery, you say?
Two men in a car. Quickly, please.
I'm sending your car straight away, Mr. Gardner.
Sergeant Matthews passes the information to radio control, and 7 minutes later, patrol car 14 pulls up outside the headquarters of Highway Supermarket in First Avenue, Greyville. The crew take statements from Gardner and a dazed but conscious Trent. A hastily summoned ambulance takes Trent to the casualty section of the hospital for treatment, and the description of the robbery car is passed to radio headquarters for action. Meanwhile, the Port Natal division of the murder and robbery squad has been alerted, and half an hour later, Major Philip Mayers and Sergeant Christopher Smuts arrive at the First Avenue head office.
Mr. Gardner? Oh, that's right. Major Mayers, murder and robbery. This is Sergeant Smuts.
This is a terrible business, Major. It's terrible.
Yes, sir, terrible. Were you injured in any way?
No, thank heavens. I'm all right now. Poor Trent was knocked about in the car when it crashed. He's been taken to hospital.
Trent?
My accountant at the Broadway branch. He was driving the car, you see.
Perhaps you'd better tell me the whole story, Mr. Gardner.
Well, there is much to tell. After we cash up on Friday, we bring all the money here to head office.
From Durban North?
That's right, the Highway Supermarket in Broadway.
You don't have a safe there?
No, not yet. You see, the premises aren't designed for a supermarket. We have rather a temporary situation there. We're expecting large-scale alterations in the near future, and until that happens, we don't have a safe.
I see. And this was quite a regular thing, bringing the money here to Greyville.
Every Friday afternoon after we cashed up. Yes, very regular.
I see. Go on, Mr. Gardner.
Well, we drove here as usual. Just as it was getting dark, we turned into the little lane that brings us into First Avenue from Umgeni Road.
Mimosa Lane?
Yes, this is the one, I think. We always come that way, but I don't think I've ever noticed the name of the road.
And that's where they attacked you?
Two men in a car. They forced us off the road. Poor Trent couldn't do a thing.
Were they armed?
Goodness, yes. Masked, too. One of them had a gun, the other a knife.
Masked, you say? So you didn't get a look at them? You wouldn't be able to describe them?
I'm afraid not. They wore dark clothes, weren't very tall. Nothing conspicuous about either of them.
And you've already given a description of the car to the radio squad, I see.
Well, for what it's worth, I didn't get the number, I'm afraid.
How much money did they steal, Mr. Gardner?
It's all there in my statement. Over 7,000. Major, what chance do we have of getting it back?
Oh, it's hard to say at this moment, Mr. Gardner, but we're certainly going to try. Well, Sergeant, what do you think?
Pretty poor security, I'd say, sir. No safe at the Durban North Branch, transporting the money in an ordinary car.
Not forgetting the most important mistake they made.
Yeah? What's that, sir?
Moving the money at exactly the same time every week and using the same route. Afraid they were asking for trouble.
They couldn't help us much with descriptions, either.
No. Two masked men of average height. The car. What did you say again?
A dark saloon. Could have been black or dark blue. They aren't very certain about the make, either. One of them thought it was a Grantley, and the other was sure it was a Chisholm.
Grantley or a Chisholm? Which was which, Sergeant?
Trent went for the Chisholm.
And you say he seemed pretty sure about it?
Yes, sir. Far more certain than Mr. Gardner.
Well, that's the one we put into the report, then. Dark-colored Chisholm sedan. I still don't think it'll help us much. There must be thousands of Chisholms in the town.
Garage door.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Close up.
You got the back?
You think I'd leave it in the car? Come on, let's take it inside and see what we've got. Lights? Right. Let's get that money out.
That's it. Is that all there is?
Not too bad.
Yeah. Take us a long time to count, Eston.
We don't have to.
Oh, yes, we do. We're going to share. And we don't share unless we know how much we've got to share.
Look, man, look.
What's that?
Slip. Accounting slip. See? That's how much we've got in the bag.
Hey, that's clever. What's it say?
Read it.
Slip. 7,600. 7,000?
Not bad, eh?
That's great. Listen there. They're not going to catch us, are they, Slim? I mean, we're going to get away with it.
Yeah. The cops haven't got a chance.
Durban, Saturday, 18th of April, 9:45 a.m. The headquarters of the murder and robbery squad has a relaxed weekend air as detectives stand quietly together in corridors discussing the weather and the forthcoming sporting events. A small knot of eager rugby fans parts to let Sergeant Smuts pass. He hurries to the office of Major Mayers, pauses at the door, knocks and walks in.
Oh, morning, sir.
Morning, Sergeant.
You got something there, sir?
No, not much. I had records dig up a pile of recent convictions for armed robbery. I was just looking through it.
Oh, hoping our men aren't first-timers.
No, I don't think they are. They were much too well organized. There was a definite professional touch to last night's hold-up.
Did you come up with anything, sir?
No, it's hardly likely. I don't really know what I'm looking for a start.
I brought the stolen vehicles list through. There are four Chisholms on it. One's dark blue.
It might be useful.
Here you are, sir.
Thanks. A Joburg number.
Yeah, but stolen here. It belongs to a holidaymaker, stolen on the beachfront yesterday morning.
Well, that'd fit, of course.
I've already put out a special call to radio.
Good. But if I'm right about our friends being professionals, they'd hardly ride around in the car after a hold-up.
You think they'd abandon it somewhere?
Yes, of course. If it's the car we're looking for. No, I think we'll find our men in this little list, Sergeant. Look, I want you to look up each one of these ex-jailbirds for me. Find out what he was doing last Friday night.
How many names on the list, sir?
17. You're supposed to be playing rugby this afternoon, aren't you?
Well, yes, sir, I am.
Has your team got a good reserve?
Well, I don't know him too well. He's a new boy, actually. He might be quite good.
Well, then, you're going to have a chance to find out, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Smuts collects the list of convicted men from Major Mayers and heads for his car. The bustle of Saturday morning shoppers has turned Smith Street into a congealed stream of crawling traffic, and Lieutenant Smuts waits with considerable impatience to join the queue. 7 or 8 miles north of the city center, in Blackburn Road, Red Hill, the traffic is a great deal lighter. A small, dilapidated Continental car stops outside an untidy garden. The driver alights and looks at the silent house for some time before he opens the front gate and picks his way up the weed-choked path to the front door. He pauses for a moment before knocking.
Slim.
I heard it.
Someone at the door.
Sir?
What if it's...
It isn't the cops.
What are we going to do?
Go and see who it is.
Do you think that's a good idea?
Why not?
It's you. What do you want?
Oh, yes, sir. Come and say hello and all that. What can come in?
Well, I don't know about that because...
Who is it, man?
It's Mac.
Slim there.
Yeah, look, you see, we're sort of busy right now. We've got a business thing going. You know what it's like.
I know what it's like. Maybe if I come around later.
Yeah, you do that, hey? Much later. Bye, Mac.
Bye.
What did he want?
He didn't say. Just wanted to come in. Another handout, I suppose. He's a bit of a pain.
Yeah. Poor old blighter. How long's he been out now?
A couple of months.
He didn't have any idea what was going on, did he?
Mac, you must be kidding. He doesn't even know what day of the week it is.
The old man stands for a while on the chipped and peeling veranda. He pats the pocket of his baggy jacket, searching, finds a crumpled cigarette packet, pokes around in the paper, and fishes out a single battered tube. He lights it, draws deeply once or twice, and ambles back to his car. He stares back at the house thoughtfully a moment, then eases himself into the little car and drives off. Meanwhile, Sergeant Smuts has drawn away from the city traffic as he makes for the first name on his list.
Leave me alone, cop.
No, I won't be long. What about Friday?
I was here. I'm all night. I can prove it.
Now, look, you know I'm going straight now.
And you can prove where you were on Friday evening?
Friday? Yeah, of course I can.
Well, Johnny, been a long time since you saw the inside.
Yeah, and it's going to stay that way. No, you're wasting your time. It wasn't me.
Have you any ideas?
You should know better than that.
Look, I know all the boys, right?
If you say so.
There's not a word out about one of them, but if I were you...
What would you do?
Mac's been out about a month now. He's dead broke and desperate. Why don't you have a word with him?
Mac? Mac who?
That's one of those names on your list, sir. Mandy McBride. There, down near the bottom, you see?
McBride? Yes, I remember him.
You think he could be one of them, sir?
McBride? No, I don't think so. He's well over 60. That doesn't sound like descriptions we have here.
No, it doesn't.
Have you spoken to him yet?
Not yet. He wasn't at the address he gave the prison.
They say he's desperate, do they?
That's the word.
Well, I'm not at all surprised. Not much an old man like that can do now. He managed some pretty nasty crimes in his youth, though.
Oh? Armed robbery?
That's what he specialized in, but he wasn't above the odd bit of housebreaking and car theft. I should imagine he's well past it now. Probably relies on his old friends for handouts. That's a thought.
Huh? What is, sir?
Handouts. I'm pretty sure he couldn't have had anything to do with the robbery, but there's a good chance he'll have more than a passing idea who did rob the supermarket car. Think about it. He does the circuit day after day looking for a handout. He hears and sees more than anyone else in the underworld.
I think I'll go and have another look for him then. This is the house he can be doing very well.
Yes.
McBride?
That's right. You're a cop, aren't you?
Sergeant Smuts, murder and robbery.
I thought so. Never make a mistake. I can smell you lot a mile away. What do you want?
A couple of words with you. Can I come in?
Aye. Inside, quickly. Wouldn't want any of my friends to see me.
Yeah.
You can sit over there if you want.
Thank you.
Well?
You heard about the robbery last Friday.
I heard about it.
No, this is just routine, of course. Where were you on Friday evening?
Oh, I have no idea.
I see.
Well, I wasn't anywhere near the robbery. Not that I wouldn't have liked to have been, you understand. I'm past it now.
You know quite a lot of people in this game, don't you, Matt?
I know them all, even the young ones.
So you probably have a good idea who did rob that supermarket?
Probably.
You know that the highway supermarkets have offered a reward for the money.
They won't have to pay out. You'll never get them.
Unless you help us. You could collect that reward, you know. You can't be doing too well at the moment.
Out.
Just think about
it. Outside. Clear out. I've never shopped anyone in my life, and I'm not going to start now.
Well, I've left my phone number in case you change your mind.
Get out!
Team?
What?
Mac. There he is, getting out of the car, coming up the path. He's after another handout.
Get rid of him.
Well, he isn't going to like that. He'll guess there's something up.
He's had enough from us. Tell him to clear out.
Yeah, okay.
You frightened of an old man?
Of course not.
Then get on with it.
All right. Clear off, Mac.
That's the way it is.
You've had enough from us. Now clear out before I throw you out.
Answer that, would you, Sergeant?
Aye, sir. Sergeant Smuts?
Smuts. You're the same one who came to see me.
Who's speaking?
McBride.
Oh, good morning, Mac. It's McBride, sir.
Right, I'll listen on the extension.
Smuts?
Yes, I'm here, Mac. What's the trouble?
You said something about that award.
That's right. 500 rand.
What do I have to do to get it?
Well, you just have to give us enough information to arrest and convict the men who robbed the highway supermarkets.
Aye. Carefully.
Red Hill, Durban, Tuesday the 21st of April, 6:30 p.m. There is a single light burning in the shabby little bungalow in Blackburn Road. Patrol car 16 approaches from the North Coast Road corner, and patrol car 7 coasts downhill. They both stop several yards from the house, where the small, unmarked car of the murder and robbery squad pulls up.
Both patrol cars are in position, sir.
Good. Let's hope we don't need them. Come on.
Light on, sir.
Just yet. Can't see a car.
Garage door's closed. Could be in there.
We'll worry about that later. Let's find our men first. You stay down here in the driveway. That'll cover the back door and put you in a spot to help me if I get into trouble.
Right. I haven't done much about this garden.
Well, it's a mess. This is where I go in alone.
Good luck, sir.
Thanks.
Yeah? Who's that out there? Look, Mac, is that you again? I told you...
This isn't Mac. This is the police. Major Mayer's murder and robbery.
Police? From the cops?
Stay right where you are. You'd better come quietly, Celia. The whole house is covered.
Were arrested and charged under the names of Terence Cellier and Gavin French. They were found guilty on one count each of armed robbery and car theft and sent to prison for 16 years. The stolen car was recovered in the Red Hill garage, as was most of the supermarket's money. A reward check of 500 rands was made out to Andrew McBride, but it was never collected.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting. In fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of Squad Cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another dramatic story in our authentic South African police series, Squad Cars. Squad Cars is directed by Colin Fish and produced by David Goodman.